2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. Now, this is a tremendous 4 verses, but there's one particular verse there that God really spoke to me about a couple of weeks ago now, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I want you to think also of the verse that we opened our meeting with tonight in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In other words, if you and I withhold the gospel, if you and I stop talking about the gospel and living the gospel, spreading that glorious gospel message, it is hid to those that need it. It is hid to those that, I think the New King James calls it veiled. All right, veiled or hid, whichever way you want to look at it, means the same. It's hidden to those that desperately need to hear that gospel. And that's the truth of the matter. It's not hidden to those that have received the gospel and believed the gospel, and those that have come in God's prescribed way and received salvation. It's not hidden to those. They know the gospel, and they've believed on the gospel, and they've been saved. But if we hold back the gospel, then we are holding it back and hiding it from those who are lost, those who need it the most. It's a very sad thing in this world today that so many people are lost. It's a fact of life. The scriptures show us that. The scriptures tell us that, there'd be few that find it. If you look at that verse in Matthew 7, it talks about the straight gate and the wide gate. The straight gate, the narrow gate, is the gate to life, to eternal life in Christ. And we know that Jesus said he was that gate, he was that door that we have to go through. But it also says in Matthew 7 that few there be that find it. So we know that the vast majority, and that's proven, I think, as we just look around the world today, the vast majority of people today are lost. They have not received the gospel, may not have heard the gospel. They have not received Christ. They haven't had their sins washed away. And in verse 4, it tells us exactly why that is. He says, in whom the God of this world. And who's the God of this world? We know, of course, that Jesus, Paul here, is referring to Satan the devil. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. They have been spiritually blinded, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So that's a true statement, that if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are lost. Now, if we take that a step further, and this is what troubles me at times, you know, is the fact that, okay, so we preach the gospel. So we can live the gospel before men. And, you know, we can spread the gospel in our conversation and in what we do. But we've got to make sure that the gospel that we preach, and I don't mean preach as in just standing up here in a pulpit. We all preach. Every day we preach. We preach by the way that we live. We preach by the way that we deal with one another and with other people. We preach in our general conversation. You know, we're spreading. That's what preaching is. It's spreading the word. But as we preach, are we preaching the real gospel? The true gospel. I'll draw your attention to some verses in Galatians chapter 1. And this shows us the importance of the real gospel. Paul says there, but though we, verse 8, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul is laying it on the line here. He's saying there is only one gospel that is true. Only one gospel that saves. What is the point of us preaching a gospel to the lost if it's a false gospel that doesn't save? It doesn't do them any good. And I'll draw your attention again to Matthew chapter 7. No need to turn there. I expect you know the words quite well. You know, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day, and they will say, Lord, we've done this in your name. We've done that in your name. We've cast out demons in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Now this to me, I've looked at this verse over the years, I've looked at it and looked at it, and I think it's one of the saddest verses in Scripture. Because these people, and it tells us there's a lot of them, it says many shall come to me in that day. So there's a lot of people. This is the day of judgment we're talking about. Many will come to the Lord in that day. And will honestly believe that they have been saved. They will honestly believe that they have been serving the Lord. We've done this and we've done that and we've done the other. They believed they had it right. But they didn't. They're lost. Jesus never knew them. Now this shows us great deception. And Jesus warns us about deception in the last day. You read Matthew 24 and you'll find that at least three times, I think maybe four times, Jesus warns against deception. When the disciples came to Jesus and they said, you know, tell us when the end shall be, when the end of this age shall be. The first thing Jesus said was, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. He said, many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and deceive many. And I've looked at those verses over and over again over the years. Many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ. And I can, even in my short lifetime, short compared with eternity, even in my lifetime, I can remember, a few nutters that have risen up and said, I am Jesus Christ. You know, there have been one or two of them that have done that. But I don't think Jesus was talking about that. Because they don't deceive people, do they really? They might deceive a handful, but not many people are taken in by someone that stands up and proclaims to be Jesus Christ. So I look at that verse in the other way. That there will be many coming in his name, declaring that Jesus is the Christ. And shall still deceive many. They will come recognizing Jesus, but still they deceive people. Why? Because they're preaching a different gospel. That's the trouble. They're preaching a different gospel. And one of the saddest things about today is that many people preach a gospel that doesn't even mention repentance. I've heard it, you've probably heard it. People say, come and receive Christ. Take Jesus as your personal saviour. Make a decision for Christ. Say this little prayer after me. You've heard it all this sort of thing. But there's hardly ever a mention of repentance. When the Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. That's the truth. That's what the word says. When we go back to that verse in Proverbs, he said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. How many times when we go to people and we talk to them about the gospel and we tell them that they are a sinner, they say, what, me a sinner? What have I done? I haven't done anybody any harm. I'm not a sinner. You see? And it's one of the first things about the gospel is that we have to admit we are a sinner. We have to admit we are, admit we've failed. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We have to admit that. And he says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You cover them up. This is the thing today. We cover up sin. We call it by different names. We give it fancy names so it doesn't sound bad anymore. And it becomes acceptable because we live in the age of tolerance. You know, when everybody's truth is right. Because people don't believe anymore in an absolute truth. Because my absolute truth may offend somebody. I'm sorry about that. Anyone's offended by it tonight. But people need to get offended. Or they won't be saved. We have to admit we are a sinner. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We confess our sins. You don't confess them to me. You don't confess them to man. No minister can forgive your sins. No priest can forgive your sins. It's Jesus. We have to go to him. We have to go to him and confess our sins and seek his forgiveness. We have to have repentance. That's what that word means there. And forsaketh them. That's what repentance is. A lot of people think repentance is just saying sorry. It's not. It's more than saying sorry. It is being sorry for sin. But it's not true repentance unless we forsake the sins that we're sorry for. See, so we have to forsake them. We have to change our mind about sin. We have to go in a different direction. So you see, we need to to know that we're preaching the right gospel, the true gospel, the only gospel. Because Paul says if anyone else comes preaching any other gospel, even if they're an angel from heaven, let them be accursed. There's only one gospel. And if we hide that gospel, we're hiding it from the very people that need it. We're hiding it from the lost. We're hiding it for those who are on the wide road that leads to destruction. And that is so very, very sad. And I get a bit worked up about these things, you know. I think about all those people in Matthew 7. And it's a reality. It'll be a reality one day that who will stand before the Lord and will realize that they have led a life that has been deceived because they thought that they were saved and were not. Because they have not come God's way. They have not believed the true gospel. You want to know the true gospel? You'll find it in the beginning verses of 1 Corinthians 15. It's very, very simple. The gospel. Well, the gospel is the fact that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. Gospel means good news. It's the good news concerning Jesus Christ, that our blessed Savior died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. When he hung there, he who knew no sin, he who became sin for me and for you, our sins drove those nails in. Our sins were laid upon him. Yes, he died according to the scriptures for our sins. And that he was buried. He was buried. He went into the tomb. He was there 3 days in the tomb. 3 days and three nights in the tomb. How do I know that? Because it tells us. Jesus himself said that. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He was dead. Some people say he wasn't dead. Oh no, he wasn't dead. He was in some sort of coma and he came round in the coolness of the tomb. You look at crucifixion and say he wasn't dead. Crucifixion is one of the most barbaric forms of torture and death that man has ever dreamed up. And those Roman soldiers, they were expert at crucifying people. They'd done thousands of them. And they knew that because it was a holy day the next day, that those prisoners, those that hung on those crosses that day, had to be dead before sundown. And so they used to go along and break their legs. Because once they broke their legs, they couldn't force themselves up to take another breath. And they died of asphyxiation. Just like that. But the word tells us they came to Jesus and they knew he was dead already. That's when they stuck the spear into his side and outpoured blood and water. Yes, Jesus was dead. The very Son of God was dead on that cross. The centurion who witnessed all this, he said, surely this was the Son of God. Because the sky was darkened and there was thunder and there was lightning. The whole thing, God was reacting to the death of his son. Yes, he died and he laid in the tomb. But on the third day, he came back from the dead. Oh, how wonderful. The tomb was opened, not to let Jesus out, but so that we could see in by faith that the tomb was empty. He was already risen. You read the scriptures, he was already risen. He rose from the dead, triumphant. I love that old Easter hymn that we sing. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Saviour. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. That's the glorious news of the gospel. He died for me, according to the scriptures. He was buried for me, according to the scriptures. He rose again for me, according to the scriptures. And because of that, when I come to him, admitting that I'm a sinner and forsaking my sin, I receive his forgiveness and he redeems me. Because of the price that he paid on the cross, he redeems me. He buys me back from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. From serving the God of this world that I once served, to serving the God of the universe, who is on the throne of glory. Hallelujah. Saved. Saved to the uttermost. Saved for time and eternity. Hallelujah. How I praise him. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We need to understand that. We need to know the gospel ourselves, to have experienced the life-changing gospel in our own life, and to spread that glorious word to others, that others can be saved and redeemed. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave those few thoughts with you tonight, and I just pray that God will speak to your heart as he spoke to mine on that lovely verse, 2 Corinthians 4:3. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Paul said, and we've already read from those words, Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know, we must preach the gospel by the way we live, in our conversation, in all our dealings. We must preach the gospel, the true gospel that saves. Hallelujah. Right.